Welcome to today's Sunday school lesson. You'll find your text in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We're going to be looking at the first 9 verses. I encourage you, if you haven't been following the study, the adult Bible study for Sunday school lessons, I encourage you to go to the website, morningstarbaptistchurch.com. And click on the preaching teaching links, and you should find Sunday school lessons if you want to go back and catch up if you missed any. Today's lesson is walking in obedience to Christ. Walking in obedience to Christ. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. Last week we discussed the relationship between the husband and the wife. Husbands are responsible for the home, and we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And the husbands typify Christ. The Bible even told us last week that if we don't honor our wives, it can hinder our prayer lives. And then we spent some time on wives are to submit. And we looked at that word submit. It's not a bad word in the Bible. They make it seem to make it a bad word in our society about submitting. But the Bible is clear that wives are to submit to their own husbands, not someone else's husband, their own husbands. And that the wives are the keepers of the home. And as the husbands typify Christ, wives typify the church. And Christians are to submit to each other, and we're to love the brethren. And Christians typify the body. We all have an important part. Last week we looked at verse 26. Verse 26 in chapter 5 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Sanctify means set apart. Cleanse it means clean it up according to the word of God. If you and your wife hollering and fighting and cussing and discipline and no discipline to the children, no trust, then you will not have a Christ-filled marriage. Can I just encourage you, even today, today's the best day to do it. Get back to the Bible. Try it God's way. It'll work every time. And when we husbands obey the word and allow God to use us, work through us, then our family will follow. If we deprive our wives and children of their spiritual heritage, we run the risk of reaping the fruit of neglect. Then in verses 27 through 33 of last week's lesson, this is in chapter 5, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. We're in the future now. Back in verse 25, it was past tense, said he loved the church enough to die for it. In verse 26 was present tense. It says every day we must be cleansed by God's word. And then in verse 27, we see the future. One day, it could be today, could be before I end this lesson, Jesus will present himself a glorious church. a bride that is spotless, holy, without blemish. And of course, this will not be accomplished by criticizing, complaining, scolding, and ignoring the problems. God has a better plan. Husbands, minister to your wife in love, which of course requires us to be in a proper, growing relationship with the Lord. God has always intended for marriage to picture the truth of Christ's relationship to the church. There's a lot of programs in the church to encourage couples in the Lord. But the greatest spiritual strength comes from a spiritually strong, healthy family relationship. As we said, so goes the home, so goes the church. Then in verse 31, it says, we become one. That's why when she hurts, I hurt. When she's sad, I'm sad. When she's rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. And what is the mystery in verse 32, this great mystery? A mystery is when the truth is revealed in the Word of God. The great mystery is that a marriage, our marriage represents Christ and the church. And it's God's divine institution and it's God's divine plan for the marriage to be in order and represent Christ in the church. And then in verse 33, husbands, do you want your wife to respect and reverence you? Love her as much as you love yourself. When two hearts are submitted to God's will and to the power of His Spirit, a marriage will glorify God. So that brings us up to today's lesson. I wanted to go back and revisit the husband and the wife, because today we're continuing with the family unit, walking in obedience to Christ. The Bible is very clear about this word obedience. Luke 6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So you can claim to be a Christian, but if you're not obedient to God's word, you have no desire to serve Him, no desire to be in church and worship Him, then why do you call Him Lord? Why do you call yourself a Christian, which means to be Christ-like, if He's not the one directing your paths? Look at chapter 6, verse 1, and now we're going to focus on the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God instituted the family. Husbands, wives, and now the children. Children need to learn to obey. There's too many children, even in Christian homes, there's too many children running the home, and they're telling the parents what to do. If you have disobedient children, it reflects it in the home. If children won't obey their parents, why? What makes you think they're going to obey others in authority? Maybe the school teacher, maybe the policeman that pulls them over. Our society today seems to glorify rebellion. Just look at what's happening on the streets all over the news in some of these other cities, like Portland and Chicago. Our society glorifying rebellion. The rule of the day is whatever you think you can get away with, and then authority is meaningless without compliance. So why should children obey? Well, number one, the order of the family depends on it. We looked last week that when the order and the authority in the family is absent, then the family will be in chaos. That's why the wife is to be submissive to her own husband. And also they need to see the father's sacrificial love for the wife. This is a role model, an example for the child to be obedient as well. So the order of the family depends on it. Number two, the welfare of the family depends on it. If the child is not taught to obey the law and the rules, they are going to end up in a lot of trouble. Maybe with the school, maybe with the authorities, maybe they'll find themselves behind bars. Their welfare depends on it. Number three, the child is not competent to make reasonable decisions. I've seen parents insist that the child make a decision on what's best for them. Parents, that's your responsibility to make those decisions. Number four, the parents' age and experience should teach them to not make the same mistakes. You've been down the road and you see a lot of the stumbling blocks and snares. You should teach your children not to go that direction. And then number five, the family government represents God's government. Teaching a child to be obedient in the family is teaching that child to be obedient to God. Let me just back that up and say a disobedient child in the home will not be obedient to God. A child's disobedience to their parents is one of the lowest forms of lawlessness on the earth. It's mentioned as a sign of the times in the last days right before the rapture. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, I want you to listen carefully. This also know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and here it is, listen, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Also, a disobedient child is not going to be happy and prosperous. Deep down, they're going to have a void and an emptiness. They need boundaries, and they need to be kept in bounds. Just like a football game, when they run out of bounds, the referee blows the whistle. Stop! That's it! If children gets out of bounds, we need to stop and blow the whistle and say, that's it. We can't continue on. The next play has to be back in bounds. Now, they won't like it initially. But in the long run, they'll thank you for it. And then the verse says, in the Lord. Just as a wife should not obey their husbands to cheat, steal, and disobey God, neither should children. God's to be obeyed over man. His word always comes first. If we're around the home drinking and a drugging and a cussing and a fighting, children should not obey that. It says, for this is right. It's right because it's appointed by God. It's right because it's the will of God. It's right because children owe a debt of gratitude to the parents for what they've done for them. It's right because it's the best thing for the child, and it's the best thing for the church, and let me add, it's the best thing for society. Verses 2 and 3, chapter 6. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. We looked last week that dishonoring a wife can hinder our prayer life. Now we're looking at the first commandment with a promise. The fifth commandment in Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Dishonoring your parents can lead to an early grave. You'll find that also in Matthew 15:4. But honoring your parents can extend your life. If God puts such a premium on parents, should we do any less? Verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. For children to be obedient, they need to have your respect. Provoke means to arouse them, to actively cause your children to be bitter and angry. Don't put unreasonable demands on them or they'll get discouraged. Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. If a parent doesn't exercise authority in a Christ-like love, they will rebel. Instead of disciplining your children when you're angry, when you're spiteful, realize that you have a ministry to mold your children to be Christ-like. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring up. That's the Greek word here for nourish. Just as it's necessary to put food on the table, it's important to nourish them, provide spiritual food from the Word of God. That word nurture means discipline. That's a bad word in our society. And then admonition means instructions. Discipline and instructions. Everyone would look on a father as a form of child abuse if he withholds food from his children. What can I just say is spiritual child abuse? To withhold nourishment, discipline, instructions according to the Word of God. I don't have time to get into this, but if you got a pencil and piece of paper, jot these verses down. These are some good instructions to go by. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Chapter 19, verse 18. Chapter 22, verse 15. Chapter 23, verses 13 through 14. And chapter 29, 15 and 17. Parents has an awesome responsibility to God in raising their children. And you will give an account for the way you bring up your child. Our former pastor, Pastor Carrigan, I'll never forget this. He preached a whole series of messages on raising your children. He stated that when his children needed discipline, and this is some good instructions. I wish I had these instructions when I was raising mine. He stated that when his children needed discipline, he would wait until everyone cooled off. And then he would talk with the child and explain to them why they were being punished. And then he punished them. And then afterwards, he would make them apologize to whomever they offended. And then he would pray with them. This is good advice, parents. Honor God in your home. Don't send your children to church. Take them. And then when you get home from church, ask them questions. What did you learn today? What did you learn in Sunday school? What did you learn from the message? And if they're expecting you to ask them questions, then maybe next week they'll pay a little more attention. Let me leave this verse with this thought. If you don't teach them truth, then someone else is going to teach them error. And if you're not a Christ-like role model, then you're a carnal role model. Let's move on. Verses 5 through 8. We're now shifting to the servants. Let me just say here that in those days they were master and servants, but this can also relate and should relate to us on our job with a boss man or someone in authority telling us what to do. Or maybe you're the boss man. Maybe you're in authority. And this will show you how you need to treat others, even those under you. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, which fear and tremble in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall we receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. Just as there should be obedience between the husband and the wife, and obedience in the children and the home, there should also be obedience to authority. The word servant there is someone that's rendering a service to another. Again, you may be on a job rendering a service. The master here is someone that's in authority. Maybe your boss, your supervisor. And it says in fear and trembling, that means the reverence and respect. Singleness of heart is to be sincere. Not with eye service as men pleasers. That means don't just go through the motions. Don't just put on a front. Too many Christians are more concerned about what man thinks than what God says. Get your priorities in order. A Christian should be thankful for their job, and they should do the best job possible. Don't go in late. Don't leave early. Don't overextend the breaks and lunch. Give your employer a day's work for a day's wage. And do it with a Christian attitude. View your job as a gift from the Lord. Do your job as you're pleasing the Lord. Our last verse this morning, verse 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. If you are the boss, if you are someone in authority, treat your employees, treat others with respect and Christ-like, and don't look down on them. Through my years, I have seen people in authority and they thought, well, I'm on top of the mountain, you do as I say. And I mean, they show no respect. All they wanted to let you know is that they are the boss. I hope if you're in a position of authority that you're not that way. I hope you're not a respecter of persons. I hope that you're not, if someone's poor or rich or black or white or red or yellow, then I hope you're treating them all knowing that they're God's children. And he's put you in that position. And that you need to treat them as you'd want them to treat you. Christ was not a respecter of persons, neither should we be. Don't abuse your authority. Do you know that being a boss man does not impress the Lord one bit? But your attitude to be Christ-like as a boss man would get his attention. God views all of us as persons who ought to respond to his will with faithfulness and obedience. In that respect, both master and servant, boss and employee, owner and hireling, we must all honor him no matter what position we're in. Do your best. And just remember, there's always someone over you. And that you want to be treated the way you're treating others. And then remember that all of this is in order. God planned it this way. And we all have a higher authority, and that's God himself. You say, well, I'm the boss, I'm going to do this. Do you want God to do you that way? He has all power. He's got power to even take you on home to heaven if you don't want to be obedient to him here on earth. Treat others as you'd want to be treated. Even if you're a volunteer, even if you're in authority, even if you're working, even if you're just hepping around the church. Let's treat each other with honor and respect and as God's children in love. Agape love, Christ-like love. I mentioned many times to my Sunday school class that we should all rejoice, and to rejoice we need to have joy. And there's one way to have joy. You want joy in your life? Then follow the acronym. J is Jesus. O is others. Y is yourself. If you will treat others in this order, putting Jesus first, others over yourself, then you can have joy and be able to rejoice in the things of God. That also applies to our lesson today. If we're not asked to do anything that contradicts God's word, then we should do it. The conclusion this morning, and need to learn to submit to authority, and that begins at home. We've been looking at the family unit these last couple weeks. When members in the home are rebellious, then you'll have rebellion in the school, the workplace, and outside the home. Our accountability to God in areas of obedience to authority is for a lifetime. We need to walk in obedience to Christ. He loves you enough to die for you. He wants you to love him enough to live for him. And that, my friend, means to be obedient to his word and the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Next week, lesson, we're going to put on the whole armor of God. This book of Ephesians is very encouraging, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. 2,000 years later, we're still reaping and gleaming the diamonds found in these verses. I hope you got something from the lesson from the Word of God today, and not just be hearers of it, but doers as well. May God bless you.